read this scripture. It's from Mark 8:31. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And I believe this is a word for you today. And it simply says, he then began to teach them, Jesus began to teach his disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And after 3 days, help me out, rise again. One more verse and then we're gonna move on. But just know he had to suffer many things before he could rise again. Did you all hear that? Sometimes we want to get past the suffer many things and the rejection, and especially don't kill. But he said in 3 days he would rise again. Now, this next verse we've been building on, and I want you to read it with me again, Romans 8:11, and it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus, Christ Jesus, is that on the screen? Okay, they're getting ready to take it up there. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. The Spirit of God who raised, and you can join in, who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. I just want to take for a subject today, rise again. Now, before you take your seat, look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, rise again. Now let us pray. Father, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your presence in this place today. And somebody, without a doubt, is in the midst of something. They're in the midst of a trial, a tribulation, and God, a challenge. But you are here to lift us up, lift our hearts, lift our heads. And we say, God, we thank you. And we're not waiting till the battle is over, but we just made up our mind that we're going to shout now. And we're going to give you the glory now. We're not going to wait till everything is changed and then run and shout. But we thank you, God, that we praise you by faith. We honor you because you've never failed us yet. So speak to us today and open hearts, open ears. May your will and your word be accomplished today, and may it accomplish everything you sent it forth to do. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. And come on, give him your best praise right now, because he is a good God and there's none like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You might take your seats. As I look at this passage, and again, thank you, worship team. Man, you all bless me. Band, thank you. What a blessing. Put your hands together for them one more time. And all those that do so many other things. Yeah, do so many other things. I praise God and I thank God for you. When I think about the Lord and all that he's done for me, it makes me want to shout. And because he's been good to us, and we don't ever want to take it for granted, and we bless him, we honor him. We've been praying for you this week, and we'll continue to pray for you, because we recognize that Paul knew something is the reason that he said that, you know, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. He understood that resurrection power that Jesus had was important, because the people, the disciples, needed to remember that they too would suffer on occasions, and sometimes suffer even loss of life, and troubles and challenges would come their way. But they had to be reminded that the same thing that raised Jesus is going to raise you. And I know when Jesus was sharing with his disciples, makes me recognize that the disciples didn't understand everything, and neither do I. We're understanding in part, and we're growing. But when Peter heard that, and the other disciples heard that, Peter was the only one bold enough to come to Jesus and to, he was like, hey, you know, JC, I ain't hearing that. JC, Jesus Christ, y'all. I ain't hearing that. So he pulled Jesus to the side And he rebuked him. He said, "Hey, man, you're going to do some good things. We're following you. You know, you raise the dead. You heal the sick. You open blinded eyes. But you off on this one, G, you know. So I'm just letting you know, you ain't going to die. They ain't going to kill you. You know, we've been waiting on you. But can I let you know that Jesus had to let him know this has to happen? Because if it doesn't happen, follow this. If he doesn't die, if he's not wounded, if he's not bruised, if he's not crucified and buried, the resurrection from the dead could not happen." Whew. Let me say it one more time, because some people, they think that Christianity is all supposed to be sweet and cheery and always happy. And I thank God for that, because I like to live that life of being thankful and happy for all that God has done and for what he's going to do. That's a wonderful thing. But listen to me. If he had not been wounded, bruised, crucified, and buried, there could be no resurrection from the dead. Can I get a witness? And sometimes we forget that unless we have an experience and some experiences, you know, of challenge, we won't even have a testimony. Some of you all in the midst of some things right now, and you don't understand why, but you can't have a testimony unless you've gone through a test. You know, we're going to have a basketball game later on today, and again, I watched the NBA, especially the, what do you call it? Thank you so much. Y'all just staying in the spirit, so stay in the spirit like that. But especially the playoffs. I watch the playoffs because, you know, you got the best of the best. All the scrubs are gone. They've been eliminated. Now, and am I by myself? Y'all, sometimes y'all don't watch the scrubs, or y'all cheer for the scrubs. That's okay. But they're gone, and all you got is the best of the best. So they're battling, and the ones who get to the end, they're not there because they tiptoed through the tulips. Can I let you know, folks, that we're not going, we are not believers. We could not say that we associate ourselves with Jesus Christ and we are one of them and we're following them, and don't ever expect a test or a trial or to suffer anything. No, you rolling with Jesus Christ. You should. He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." He didn't just say, you know, just sit on the sideline. He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." But I want you to know that again, I'm saying this over and over again, not because, you know, I'm forgetful, but I'm just sharing it again. Jesus, if he had not been wounded, bruised, crucified, and buried, there could be no resurrection from the dead. So it was a setup for a comeback. Somebody say it with me. It was a setup for a comeback. So down south, we had this, again, I'm linking this kind of to the church, so don't, it's not a perfect example, but it's a good example. Down south, there was a lazy dog named Duke. And Duke would sit on the porch, and he would moan and groan and howl. He'd make a roar. Now, that's a Duke sound. And a little boy passed by and asked the question to the dog's owner and said, you know, "What's wrong with old Duke?" And the dog's owner responded and says, "Well, Duke's just sitting there. He's sitting on a nail. But when it hurts him bad enough, he'll rise up and he'll move." Can I let you know that some of us are like old Duke? We sitting around on the porch, moaning and groaning, complaining about the news, complaining about who ain't doing nothing, complaining about this and that. But I think when it gets bad enough, we'll recognize what's down on the inside. And some of you all know some folks that just whine, and some of you all might be some folks that just whine and moan and groan and cry and cry. And it's terrible, this and that. But God says, "I placed in you my best. I place it on the inside of you, and you are my hope of glory. Get off the nail. Can I just let you know, we're going to rise again. Ain't no doubt about it. So let me just share this with you. God can use, and this is important, God can use life's challenges to cause us to rise. He said one more time, God can use life's challenges to cause us to rise. How many of you all believe that? How many of you ever been in a situation where things were happening and something, and I know God gave me this message because he let me know that some of you all were in a situation and then you were getting comfortable and God says, I gotta get them to move forward and I'm being one of them. And I was in a situation where things were just going, normally, and I knew that it wasn't exactly right. But you're like saying, man, I ain't feel like doing that right now. And it was pain on occasions, but has it ever gotten so bad to you said, man, I got to do something now. Yes. And you said, I'm going to rise up. And then you recognize that it's on the inside of you. You got everything you need to rise up on the inside of you. But sometimes, why do we sit on the nail? Some of us too late. Sometimes... Let me use myself. Some of us, me, myself, I just don't want to move. And I want to stay here, but some even relationships are so painful. And especially if it's abusive and y'all got real quiet in the house. But when it gets bad enough, you'll recognize, I can't make it on my own. Oh, you won't be on your own because God will be with you. I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. I mean, come on, let's give God some praise in this house. And God can use life's challenges to cause us to rise. There's a passage in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:8. It says, for we are pressed on every side, yet not crushed. That means, and some of us right there now, pressed. You are pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. Or we don't even understand. Seems like we're about to go out of our mind, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Is anybody in the house today? You've been through it, or you're in the midst of it right now? I want to let you know that God is with you even when it doesn't seem like it, when it doesn't feel like it, when other people don't understand, when they look at you and said, oh, I knew they were due for one. Can I let you know that Micah spoke out, Micah 7:8, it says, don't gloat over me, my enemies. For though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I love that passage. Why? Because it says that when I read the passage, he begins to tell me that Micah was having some challenges and even some self-induced, some things he didn't do right. He actually was not obeying God. And how many of you know that not obeying God can put you in a situation? It can put you in a situation if you don't follow him. And Micah said, man, I know I messed up, God, and I know that you're going to, even though, and this is what I like about God, even though you mess up, even though you fall, he will still come and be there for you and love you in the midst of your mess up. And he says, I'll still cause you to rise. Come on, bless him real big. He says, don't laugh at me, my enemies. Even though you might have, you might think it's funny now, but I'm letting you know, for though I fall, I'm going to rise again. And some of us need to get that in our spirit. I'm going to rise again in my spirit. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to rise again. Luke 15:18, as we see the story of the loving father and the son, and we call the prodigal son, and yeah, he made some mistakes and he went off, but one of the passages I love after he did all the things that he did is Luke 15:18. It says, I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Can I let you know that this man, even though he knew he had sinned and messed up, when he came to a point of rising, I mean, you know, can I let you know first, you got to rise in your head. Come on, Pastor. Some people are down in the head. That doesn't sound right, but I don't know of a better way to communicate it. And you all help me after church. I'm sure you will. But sometimes we have to watch the stuff that we, intake in our head because it's off. I watched you know, when coming up, I used to hear some of the blues, and, you know, one of the songs that I remember, and see, blues is like country western, just different shades. Yeah, so some cry in the beer and say, my baby gone. And others, they sing the blues, and B.B. King is one of them. And thank God for him. Sounds good, and some people want to hear that because they want to stay down. Are you with me today? Mm-hmm. But one particular song says this. I've been down so long that down, down, down. That down just don't bother me. That down, I don't. I've been down so long. That down, I don't. Down just don't bother me. And some of us, even in the church, we take on that attitude that I've been down so long that I don't even know what it's like to get up again. When God hit me with this, I said, God, help me, because I don't ever want to be in that situation. I want to recognize what it's like to walk in victory. Recognize what it's like to walk in confidence. Recognize what it's like to walk in boldness, to know that I am not a statistic. I am not one that you can pat me on the head and say that poor me. No, no, no. I recognize who I am. I recognize whose I am. I recognize what I can do. And that's all things through Christ that strengthens me. I am not the one that is, what do they call them people that always whine and they say, I'm just a, there's a word I can't think of, so you know it's not in my notes. When it comes to me or the Holy Ghost speaks to y'all just shout it out, hallelujah. But I don't want to be that one that says I am just a victim. That's the word. Victim mentality should not be on the church. Am I preaching today or what? How can I be a victim when I'm crucified with Christ? I was risen with Christ. I reign with Christ at the right hand of the Father with Christ. He's on the inside of me. The Holy Ghost is inside of me. How can I be a victim? I got victory and I walk in that victory. Somebody bless him in this house. Woo! Don't y'all sing the blues around me. Not that crying in my blue. And that's why it's hard for me to counsel. I'm being truthful. Because it's hard for me to see people that's got so much, that whine so much. Y'all still love me, right? It's hard for me to sit, and I'm saying, well, you've got so much to be thankful for. God's given you so much. He's put his best on the inside of you. And if all you're doing is focusing on what's wrong, you don't see all that he's done. He's picked me up. It's placed my feet on solid ground. Makes me want to shout, not whine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody praise him one more time. So can I share with you again that I know that somebody today is in the midst of trouble and persecution and challenge, but can I remind you that God has not forsaken you? And you will rise again. Just know that I believe it's a setup. No doubt about it. It's a setup for a comeback. And some of y'all are going to come back strong, better than you were in the beginning. No doubt about it. I've got a trainer. We work out together. He's bigger than I am, much stronger, and be talking all kind of noise, ex-military, ex-police force, trained for special forces and military, and we've been working out together. And so when we first started, there was certain weight that I couldn't handle, and you know, he would challenge me on a regular basis to push, and we bench and squat and all of that stuff. And some of you all, you don't know nothing about that, but a little shade here and there. But we went to the bench a few weeks ago, and Maurice wanted to say, I said his name. He said, put these plates on there, and it was several plates that I used to struggle with it. And he put it on, and he said, I'm going to spot you. And so we pushed it out, and then I pushed it out again, and something had happened. That you get stronger the more weight you push and carry, and the more you work out, you get stronger each time. Are you with me today? Some of you all don't recognize that what you're going through is going to make you. Woo, I feel like a shout right now. Some of y'all don't recognize. You don't recognize that when you begin to see that thing again, that's, oh, I got this. And guess what? Your spotter is God, because he's with you. He's not going to let it crush you. You can push it up. And man, I'm telling you what, some of y'all are stronger right now because of what you've been through. And if you're going to go through it, you might as well grow through it. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Hallelujah. Let me bring this home. Hallelujah. We have the power within us to rise again. Say it with me. We have the power within us to rise again. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him who is able to do, and you all quote it with me, able to do, help me out, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or, don't stop. If you've got a Bible, if you've got anything to underline, highlight, even you can do it in your own on the phone Bible. Underline the part it says, according to the power that works. Oh, you've got it on the inside of you. Where's the power? That's personalizing. Where's the power? Yeah, that sounded better. Personalize it one more time. Where's the power? It's in you. Now, I know people be tripping on that. They be saying, well, according now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. You stop there. Don't stop. He says, according to the power that dwells in, yeah, in us, in me. Therefore, I got to stop whining, complaining, moaning, and groaning and say, wow, it's in me. He made the deposit on the inside of me. Oh, I was praying again. I said, God, help me preach this thing like I feel it. Thank you, God. The power's on the inside of us. And he deposited his best on the inside of us. That's why he says, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, where is it? Do I put it in you? We are his vessels. He placed his Holy Spirit. Know ye not that your bodies are a temple of what? He dwells on the inside of you. When we wake up to that fact that we can walk in victory in every area of our life, we will be a changed church. We'll get off the nails. Somebody give God a praise. I mean, give him a big praise. He's a God. Thank you, God. One more time. Where's the power lie? Some say, well, I don't know. And the devil. There's no B in devil. It's a V. But we give him too much credit. He's already under our feet. To be truthful, my friend and my brothers and sisters, it's important that you grasp this. But this is an invitation. And hallelujah, I feel his presence right now. This is almost like an invitation to dream big. You know, to think of the greatest, because he says, now unto him, talking about God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. In other words, dream of something. I can do more. Dream of something super big. That's nothing to me. I'm God. If the church comes to that revelation, come to that revelation that it doesn't too hard for God. When I talk to our young men, and I had the chance to talk to some of them this week, and they were like saying, Pastor, I'm not sure if we can, and this is, they be talking, and I have to check them on this. They said, well, Pastor, we're not sure if we will be able to do all that you all have done in the past. I'm like, you'll do that and more. You'll do that and more, and we're here to help you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I talked to another individual the other day, and they talked about some things. I had to let them know that we're here to see you excel in every aspect of your life, but you've got to first excel in your mind. Don't ever think you can't. Don't ever think that you'll be limited based upon what's around you and what you see. No, God is bigger than that. He's inviting you. We owe it to God. I know I'm tripping a little bit, but we owe it to God to dream big, to think big, to operate, especially if we're thinking about the kingdom and not ourselves. Are y'all with me today? And I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. We went to Disney, and you know, we've been going since we were kids, and since, well, not me, my parents didn't take me to see a rat. But but since my kids were young, so I complained about the fact that, you know, it was like $45 to get in. That's been 30, that's been 30 years ago. Yeah. So we went recently, and I think it cost about $130 something to get in. And that was to go to what we went to, some kind of animal. I forget one of them, but they've got so many parks. And Tita, tell me which one that was, please. Animal Kingdom, okay, yeah, so we went to Animal Kingdom. And I know they get a lot of their ideas from the Bible. I know they pervert some things too, but they get some, they have the big tree in the middle. I know the tree in the center of God. I already know what that meant. I know what it meant. They got a lot of stuff from the Bible. The avatar is, we waited in line for a time, and I'm going somewhere with this. So we wait in line, and it's a long time. I'm already thinking like, why in the world I give these folks $130 some, and then multiply that times six of us, and I'm thinking like, now, man, oh man, that man, I wanted some oil to pray for myself. But after we got up there, we went in this particular ride, and it was the Avatar, and I'll not forget it, because, you know, it gave us an experience that was beyond anything I'd ever experienced before. It put you in this little seat, and the seat like rocked and stuff, and it put on the goggles, and the goggles you can see, and they call it those, they got a name for it. Is it the AR? Yeah, virtual reality. And we're in this, what did I, a VR? Yeah, I'm glad y'all paying attention. All this is part of the message. So did you pay attention? So we sit in the thing, and it actually feels like you are in the air. It feels like you are going up and down. The chair was tilting. The thing was going. Wind was blowing. I felt the heat of the thing trying to bite me on the neck. I was like, whoa, whoa. I felt water when we dipped under the thing. I was like, this is amazing. When I got through with it, I was like saying, and my wife was next. She was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we were both in it together, experiencing this together. We were dipping under things. We were flying in the air, birds. We were looking right up eye to eye. And it was amazing. Here's my point. When we got off, I said, man, I'd be willing to pay that much to go again. Follow me. I don't want, and hear my heart, Disney to be able to outthink us, to outdream us, to think bigger than we think. Are you with me today? I don't want any of them to think that they say, well, it costs a lot of money. There's no amount that God is not able to provide for whatever his kingdom will bring forth. I want you to know that we serve a big God, and now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. So we got to cast off all that limitation thinking and begin to say, I serve a big God. And you begin to dream big in this house. Somebody bless him in the house. I know it's, woo. I'm almost having a good time. Why? Because God is speaking to me. He says, Jerry Wayne, you started off dreaming, but sometimes trials and tribulations can make us stop dreaming. And I understand that you know, disappointment can knock the fire out of you. Can I get a witness in the house? Disappointment, there's nothing like disappointment to hinder your capacity to dream. And you begin to walk when you used to have a pep in your step. You say, well, I'm just waiting till Jesus comes. What kind of talk is that? All these people unsaved need to know Jesus Christ. And all we want to do is live in comfort and wait for him to come. Come on, somebody. May his kingdom come. May his will be done. And how is it going to happen? In us. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Look at this other passage. Colossians 1:27. It says to them, and this is a secret that he's talking about, the mystery. It says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery. In other words, a secret. What is it? Which is, help me out, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not somewhere else. He's in you. As I wrap this, say it with me, it's Christ in me. It's the hope of glory. I will rise. We have to hear it over and over again. And I know some of us have been through some things, and no doubt about it. But can I share with you one of the reasons, and three of the reasons I want to make sure that I don't limit God, and that I rise, is because when we rise, God is glorified and his people are blessed. When we rise and to what God has called us to do, God is glorified and his people are blessed. That's including you. No doubt about it. Well, how does that look? And I'm glad you asked. I think of Joseph when he was his father's favorite. Father loved him, the sons, and the others didn't like him very much because of the love that was expressed by the father, to the point that they couldn't see him coming in peace, and they always had something going on internally. And when I see that his father gave him a coat of many colors, and then he had a dream too, and some of you all still have the ability to dream, and sometimes you need to rekindle that ability to dream. Are y'all with me today? Can I just remind you, it's not over? It's not over. So he had a dream, and his dream was big. And not only could his brothers not embrace it and understand it, but even his parents couldn't understand it. Sometimes there'll be a dream on the inside of you that your family won't even understand. Am I doing okay? Some of you all have some dreams down inside of you right now, and you say, well, I, and please don't share it with the wrong person. Don't share it with the wrong person. They'll try to crush it. Because soon as they see him coming from afar with the coat of many colors on, they said to themselves, in fun, and said, here comes that dreamer, here comes that dreamer. If we kill him, we'll see what happens to that dream. Can I let you know that there's some people right now that say if they kill you, that your dream will die? But can I let you know that if God is for you, thank you, God. Not knowing, and this, it blows me away, not knowing that what God wants to do is going to be a blessing to not only you, but God set me up to bless you, and you tried to kill the dream. So they see him coming, and they plot and plan. First they say, I'm going to kill you, and then one of them with some sense says, hey, let's not kill him because, you know, what are we going to get out of it? Let's put him in a hole. And can you imagine being in a pit and listening to your brothers plotting to kill you? I can't imagine. And I'd probably try to plug my ears. You said you're going to do what? Yeah, we're taking you out. And some say, oh, wait, let's sell him. You can probably get some money for him. So travelers came and paid 20 pieces of silver. And they sold him into slavery. I love the passage that says that when he went to slavery, into slavery, God was with him. So in other words, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, as long as God is with you, you're going to rise again. I don't care who don't like it, who tries to stop you, who lies on you, who tries to get on Facebook and all the rest of the books, defame you, minimize you. God went in the pit with him. Boy, I feel a shout, come on. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, God. God was with him, and when God is with you, it makes all the difference in the world. Then the scripture tells us later on that many things had happened, and God caused him to rise even in prison, caused him to rise even in the enemy's camp, Egypt's camp. And then this passage, Genesis 50 and 20, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. And guess what? You're going to be blessed because God has raised me up. Can I let you know that regardless of your situation, y'all can stand on your feet, y'all can stand on your feet. Regardless of your situation, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning around for your good. How many really believe that? Come on, bless him real big. He's God. I don't ever want to leave without always giving you an assignment. So your first assignment is this. If God said it, you need to believe it, right? If he's spoken, all I've been doing is preaching his word today. And so if he said it was, what's your job to do what? Believe it, believe it, believe it. If God said, that's when you say amen. Amen means so be it. So when God's word comes forth, you say amen, that means so be it. I'm believing it, I'm walking in it, let it be written, let it be done. Psalm says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. It's a done deal in heaven. The other thing that we've really got to get right, and a lot of us mess up on this, you know, we got to believe it, but then we got to speak it. You know, some of us are talking the wrong thing. Don't talk your problem. Speak your word of God, what God's word says. So how many of you know you need to work on what's coming out of your mouth? I check people around me, man. I don't want them talking crazy. Stopping myself. We'll never get ahead. Whoa. If you want to speak that, you say that, but don't put that on us. It's hard times. No. I'm with God, walking at his right hand. He's with me. He's for me. And I don't care where I am, as long as I'm with him, I'm in a good place. You all believe that? The scripture says, death and life lieth where? And the power of the tongue. And I love this next part. It says, those who love it will indulge in its fruits and bear the consequences of their word. I was in a restaurant, and a lady came to me, asked me to pray for her. And she says that my parent and my grandmother, mother and grandmother, died of cancer. And she says, I've been having some pains, and I believe that I'm going to die the same way. I'm saying, whoa, slow your roll, homie. Why are you thinking like that? You know, with you, I'm praying that the very curse of generations are broken with you, that you will live and not die and declare the glory of God. Don't you speak what everybody else speaks. Are you with me today? Whew. And then finally, you need to believe it, to speak it, you need to act on it. That means that we walk by faith. I don't understand it. Don't know how it's going to work, but guess what? If God says it, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. Some of you all in place right now, you need to walk by faith. Stop worrying about all the things. In fact, turn your worry into worship and just turn, God, I just bless you. I just worship you. I just give you glory in the midst of it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone put it like this. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust I rise. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hopes spring up high, still I rise. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I rise. I like what Dallas Holmes said. He says, go ahead, nail the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead, say it isn't me, but one day you'll see, because I'll rise again. I like this. Can't no power on earth hold me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Can't no grave keep me in the ground. Is there anybody in the house that you've been through something, but I don't care what it looks like? You know within your knower that you will rise again. If you believe it, give him a shout in this house. Let's give him a shout in this house.